I want you this morning to think of someone in your life it's really hard for you to love. I want you to think of someone it's really difficult for you to love, that there's some friction there. Maybe they've hurt you, taken advantage of you, somebody who you feel like they take you for granted, haven't appreciated you, forgotten you, keeps coming up against you in some ways. For some of you, that's going to be somebody who's extremely close to you. Maybe we have a hard time loving ourselves, too. Or maybe there's just like a big situation in your life that's overwhelming. It's not a person, but it's just got you off kilter, and every time it comes up, it's frustrating. It feels like there's obstacles, roadblocks. This is really sacred ground, and I don't want to rile you all up. But I really want to be gentle here and have you just imagine with me that we're going to journey to the cross, the foot of the cross where Jesus is, kind of carrying this weight with us, this person or situation. We go to the foot of the cross and be there with Jesus there and Mary and the beloved disciple. And what we see on the cross is the way that God loves us. We realize quickly as we look upon Jesus is that our love is so often short. Our love is conditional. It often runs out. And yet we get to see, we get to behold the way that Jesus loves us. And this particular person, this particular situation is just evidence of our short love and the ways that we don't know how to love as Jesus does. But there's an opening for us. You see, on the side of Christ, his heart has been pierced for you and for me, for the pains that we hold within us. And Jesus so much desires that we would be united with him, especially in the things that are most difficult. So if you can imagine with me, and maybe you need to close your eyes, but that person or that situation or your own weary heart, we're just going to place that in the side of Christ, entrusting ourselves, entrusting that person to his sacred heart, which is so full of love, even as he's suffering on the cross. To offer him what's most real and what's most painful so that we can experience freedom and that we can trust that Jesus wants to take care of us. Jesus wants to take care of you. He is a Savior who loves to save, and you and I are so often in need of saving. Jesus desires to lighten our load and to stretch our capacity to love. What we see on the cross is the agape love of God. In English, we only have one word, really, for love. L-O-V-E, love. We also use like, you know. I like most of you. I love all of you. But in Greek, there's these four words for love. And they're not like fake loves. They're real loves. The first love that they would use was called storge. This is familial love. This is the natural affection we have towards brothers and sisters, moms and dads, that there's an affinity towards each other just because we've grown up together. It's not fake love. It is real, bona fide love. The next level is philia. It's a love of friends. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Philia means that there's deep friendship, there's loyalty, trust, and mutual respect. There's been a lot of experience over the time. It's not fake love. It is real love. Then there's eros. This is the love that attracts. It's passionate. There's often a physical attraction or a desire for the other person, a desire for their good even. But this is the sort of romantic love that we think of. And really the pinnacle of the Greek loves was the agape. This is a sacrificial, unconditional love, a love that is selfless, that's not interested in personal gain, I'm not interested in you for what you can do for me, but I love you to pieces, and I would do anything for you. This is the love that's really so hard. It extends beyond me, my own protection of self, but I just want to love you for who you are. And when we look at the cross, like, this is the model of Christian love. This is God's agape love for his people, that if we are called to be Christians and that are worth our salt, our love always has to model Jesus's. It's always going to be in the form of the cross, to give ourselves entirely. And so what we hear in the gospel today, Jesus, his words are challenging. We hear him say right at the beginning, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." And I think this is so important, that first line, "To you who hear, I say," because he knows he's going to say this, and it's going to fall on a lot of deaf ears. Yeah, I'm happy to be Catholic. Yeah, I'm happy to be Christian. A lot of it lines up. I can do the things, more or less follow the commandments. We're like the Pharisees so often, that we can do all the right things, and yet, when it comes to this interior conversion of heart, that I'm to love my enemies, like, when I read that, I think, no. How about no, Lord? Like, I don't really, that's the whole point. I don't like this person. I don't want to love them. Bless those who mistreat me, who curse me. Like, it's just so much against our nature. And yet Jesus is going to teach us how to love, how to come outside of ourselves, how to be truly stretched. And what we realize so quickly is that we can't do this on our own. The bar is far too high. I can't love as Jesus loves. My love is short and it's conditional. And yet, there's a place for us in the side of Jesus' heart, in his open and wounded side, where I can place myself and where I can entrust myself, and I can go time and again. We sin and we sin and we sin and we sin and we sin, and Jesus loves to forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive, and to heal and to heal and to heal and to heal. He's a Savior who loves to save, and I and you were in need of saving. If only we would bring ourselves to him, to entrust ourselves to him. And you think to yourself, if you're serious and sober, like, there's a lot of hurts over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, resentments and bitterness and frustrations and things that we hold on to. But I assure you of this, that nonsense doesn't go to heaven with us. That can't be in my heart. And I can be in God's heavenly kingdom at the same time. That lack of communion, that division that's within us, that will not be in heaven. So either that needs to be purified here on earth, or it's going to drag me to hell forever. And having it in us right now is its own form of hell. And yet the Lord desires to heal and to make new. If only we would offer ourselves entirely to him. Jesus shows us how to love. And this call in the gospel to love your enemies, to do good to those who hate you, to bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, is the hardest thing in the world. We think, well, of course, that's something that Jesus would say. He's Jesus. He would say that type of thing. Yeah, I know he's Jesus. He would say that type of thing. But that doesn't make it easy to live, or something that I can just gloss over. We need to live this in our own lives and be asking for more and more grace. Lord, we need to learn how to forgive. Teach us how to love. Teach us how to forgive. Teach us how to let things go, to love our enemies. We're going to ask you every single day for the rest of our lives. We're going to repent when we need to repent. And we're going to ask for more of your love. Because anything less than that is not enough. You and I as Christians are called to such a high dignity, to be children of God. And Jesus is our model. So if we're serious at all, as we come to Mass, what we do right at the beginning when we place ourselves in Jesus' side, if the Lord can transform bread and wine into his own body and his own blood, he can take my stony heart. He can take my calloused heart. He can take the hurts from my past and transform them as well. So we place ourselves on the altar today that the Lord would do what he does best. He's a savior who loves to save. And he wants to save us so we can love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us and be one with him. Jesus is the savior who loves to save.